So today's talk is called Discovering the Gifts. And the reason I wanted to talk about it is, like, as I was reviewing my life, I was thinking about how a lot of the things that I really enjoy in my life and that were brought forth in my life did not come from the usual suspect, but the unusual suspects. Okay, so I was very attached to my father, but when I look at it, the person who I always thought was the authoritarian, the mean one, and she was. She was a rage. She was. She was all those things. But she was bringing forth everything that came from her story forward, okay? And so I started to realize she was the one who really gave me a lot of the good stuff in my life, even though she had to drag me there, even though I hated it, or even though, you know, it was just nothing I wanted in my life. Now they're all things that I use. And I think it's interesting when we look at our gifts and our talents that we might be surprised that the old story of what we experienced unfolded into something totally different because of our early experiences, the ones that we called not the great ones, okay? And when we can discover that, we change everything. But when I lived in the old story of my mom is the rageaholic and my dad's the alcoholic, when I lived in that story, which was until probably I was 40-something, I would find that if I met people and we'd get together and talk, I would tell them my story, and they would tell me their story. We would share our bad stories, okay? Oh, I grew up on 7th and Shoto. My dad was an alcoholic, and my mom was this. And I didn't have a yard to live in. I always wanted a yard, but I had to live on, play on asphalt and in the alley. And my friends lived across the alley in this one long building, and I was so young I didn't realize they were it was a rooming house. Each room was their apartment that the whole family lived in. But I didn't know anything about that stuff. Everything was fine until I went away to school outside the neighborhood and invited some friends over. And all of a sudden, I was told that their mother didn't think it was a very good neighborhood, and therefore they couldn't come down to my neighborhood. Now, it was very weird because my dad had a cafeteria and we lived above it. He owned half a block. He actually had a lot of money. But it was right across from Roston Purina, and the truck lines were one block down and everything was commercial, and we could watch them building the arch and we could watch them building the stadium. You know, we were right in downtown. And when I slept at night, you could hear the big trucks going by all the time, early, early in the morning. And there's another story where my dad couldn't afford to put the whole thing of spick and span, and that's a different story. So instead, he settled for spicks and had a sign that actually said parking for spicks only, which was totally politically incorrect, okay? So it's like, wow, you know, how did this happen? How did this happen to me? And I just wanted to so much to live around Gravelines, Ohio, where my friends lived, by St. Francis de Sales, where they all had backyards and all this stuff. But my mom, to make up for what they felt, made a big show of having money. She wore full-length mink coats at inappropriate times. Big diamond rings. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was embarrassed by her. You know, so I was just like constantly living in shame. And she would sign me up for private dance lessons and French lessons. And I was like, oh my gosh, I hate all this stuff. This is terrible. Why are you doing this to me? And it was just like a really crazy relationship. And, you know, she dressed me up weird. You know, it was just a lot of different things that I just wanted to crawl in a hole. Okay. But I realized that she is the one who introduced me to design and ballet and music and all these different things. My dad put me on a bike on 7th and Shoto and sent me down the street and didn't tell me you had to slow down before you turn corners. And, you know, so it was just a lot of different things. But I held on to a story of I didn't have a good childhood. I was the last of 9. I was the unexpected one, and my sister really was the favorite, okay, the one 4 years ahead of me. I know this because my mom gathered us around her when she was dying and said, is it okay if I say that she was my favorite? So, I mean, this is not like I'm making it up, okay? So, when I look back at my childhood, I now realize that maybe being the favorite isn't the best thing sometimes. And maybe having somebody push you to go take swimming lessons is actually a very good thing, even though my little one didn't like it. I swim very well now. It's something I would not have had without her. So when we're getting together with people and we're meeting them for the first time, and we're constantly telling a story of our sad lives and our sad childhood, we think we're sharing something that's real with other people, but we're not. We're sharing one perspective, one story, and as long as we live in that story, because of who and what we really, really are, which is pure creative energy, we will attract more things that mirror that story. And we will keep attracting it, and we will keep mirroring it, and we will think that we are justified in our story and that we were actually correct in our story. But at some point in our lives, when we are done with the story and decide we'll open ourselves up to a new perspective and decide that we will not let that be our story, that it was just a setup for something else, that it was really a setup of giving us unique talents and gifts that we can either use or hide from ourselves and from others. So I look at somebody like Helen Keller, not just deaf, not just blind, but both. And I look at how she can say, I thank God for my handicaps, for through them I have found myself, my work, and my God. She never had to come to that realization, but she did. And so when we all think about our early setups and our limitations and that we weren't born with silver spoons in our mouths and that we all have our own unique stories, all of us do, in every one of the stories is not just one opportunity, but many opportunities of how you can take it and transform it into something good. How you can move it from the darkness of your personality's misperception of what happened and into the light of possibility. And it changes everything. So now I meet people sometimes who say, well, I've got to let people know the truth about who I am. And they decide they're going to tell that sad story. And I think, but you're not telling the truth of who you are, because you are so much more than that. You're telling them a story that you're living in, and at some point, I hope you'll consider dropping it. I hope you'll just pick through the story and take out the gifts and take out the talents and the things that were unearthed for you by an individual that you thought was actually a problem. Or you'll find the gifts of a condition that you had. You will find the gifts in that, that it actually held your purpose and made you bring more light into the world. I share with people, and it was very scary the first time, it's scary every time I do it, that until I was leaving for college, I was still wetting the bed. And I share that with people because I know there's other people who also have a story similar to that. And I didn't find out till I was in my 40s that I was not the only one in my family, but instead I was one of about five or six that did that. And I found out also that when you have a very controlling parent, that you lose control when you go to sleep. And it made total sense. And the reason I had the strength to share it is I remember Michael Landon sharing it on The Tonight Show to Johnny Carson. I thought, wow, that's amazing that he could share something like that. Something that I added to my book of shame. My friends can't come to my house. And this is another thing I do. And when I do it, if people are around, my mom makes me wash the sheets and put it out so everybody can see it. She was having a hard time with shame herself. And this is what she thought would get me out of doing that. I'm not justifying her methods. What I'm saying is, when I pick through my life and I'm willing to share with people that that was my experience, then anybody else who had that experience can say, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one. Nobody talked about that. You mean that was actually a common thing, that there were people that had that happen to them? That it was common? And that there are so many common things that people don't talk about, that when we hid ourselves and we hid our stories and we defined ourselves by the stories and we lived in shame because of our stories, the stories had power. And then as soon as you reveal the story, it loses its power. So we are living in a time when so many people have come forth with their stories. They've shared their stories. And so many people have sighed. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. I can get out from under this. I can have compassion for myself and say, you're all right. It's okay. This doesn't have to define me. When we resist something, when we hide something from ourselves and from others, it gains so much power. But when we take the story from the point of view of the victim and share the story from that perspective, then we give it even more power. But when we can speak it out loud and say, it does not define me. When we can say, it has nothing to do with who I am. And it was something that happened so that I could push through it. So that I could add light to it. So that a lot of other people could feel good about themselves. So that we could all know we're okay. And that we all have stories. That we all have some level of shame. That we all carry some level of guilt. That we carry all these lower level vibration emotions. And that it's okay that we had the feelings, but that we don't have to continue to live in them. Having these feelings gives us the whole sandbox to play in. It provides us with wonderful contrasts for when we don't feel it. It provides us with compassion for others who feel it. It's not a mistake, it's very much on purpose. So in this space, the things that we were ashamed of or afraid of or thought had happened to us as children, I invite everybody to take another look at it and see what gifts and what purpose they added to your life, what texture they added to your life. And imagine, do you really want that whitewashed life of the silver spoon in your mouth? Or do you enjoy, on some level, the depth of your experiences? So discovering the gifts means we look at things. My fingers move, I can see, I can read, I can do a lot of different things. Excuse me. Those are all wonderful gifts. But those are the usual suspects. So today I invite everybody to look for the unusual suspects, to look for the people that we thought were the ones that were against us from our personality's viewpoint, in competition with us, and instead say, I'm not going to look at the who of them anymore. I'm going to look at the what came out of it. I'm not going to look at the who. That's what Florence Scovel Shinn says. Stop looking at the who and start looking at the what. What strength did you gain? What perspective did you gain? What talent was uncovered because of this person? I remember my mom, because she was married to a very loving, wonderful, funny alcoholic who had smoked to the point of having emphysema, that she couldn't travel. She couldn't do anything. So here she was. It was time to retire, but she couldn't leave him because he might cut himself. He might fall. He'll drink. He'll do a lot of different stuff. So her whole life, she was tied to this. And she gave me something. That's not what my life's going to look like. She tried to control it. She tried to change it. I was able to watch, no matter how much she looked for bottles and found them, that he would find a new hiding space. There was no controlling or changing another. What a great lesson. No can do. The only one who can change each and every one of us is each individual. We have healthy boundaries. We understand if we are souls, we're going to get things in a very soulful way. If we are souls and we can see ourselves as souls having this physical experience, then we can see others as souls having their experiences. And we can live within healthy boundaries of, this is my journey, and I respect yours. And I will not go in and try to change it. I will not do that. I went out with some friends the other night I hadn't seen for a long time, and the woman said, I'm working on my bucket list. I said, oh boy, great, we're going to sit and talk about your bucket list. How fun is this? She goes, yeah, I've got to get my will together. I've got to get my durable power of attorney. I said, that's not a bucket list. That's a get ready to kick the bucket list. You don't know what a bucket list is. But because of watching my mom's life, I have a bucket list. There's places I want to go and things I want to do, and I've been working off that list my whole life. Allowing myself in my 40s and 50s, I'll try acting. Well, why don't you try design? Why don't you try this? You know, and life has become an adventure by watching the contrast of where you can't follow your dreams. That's a gift. It wasn't one she was trying to give me, but it was one that I could observe and see. And it was also one that I could see why she wanted to sign me up for all these different things. These were things she had wanted to do. So, as we move forward and we're creating our list of gifts and discovering them, let's go look at all of the experiences again in a new light. Forget about the who and think about what we learned and gained from that. The strength, the ability to say it does not define me, the ability to see our lives as an adventure, to not settle, to not try to change others, but to really see the real big gifts and lessons that we learn from others. And just be grateful. Grateful for those souls in our lives. Grateful that we know that we are souls. And grateful knowing that as souls we are eternal, and free will is not something here, but has always existed. And that we came in signing up for this. All of it. Thank you very much.